Can embracing a beginner's mindset defeat ego once and for all? Why is it important in our lives more than anything else to remain a constant student, to not only put ego to the side, but also increase our knowledge? And why does ego seek to create this veil of knowledge in order to conceal the true lack that hides behind this veil? Hello, and welcome back to Stoic Spirituality, a podcast where I look through, analyze, and dissect various thoughts, quotes, and books that I've read throughout the last few years. My name is Juggan, and I'm a student of the human experience, trying to spread some knowledge out to the rest of the world. So over these last three episodes or so in this ego-based series, in the larger series of Mastering Oneself, we've tackled this idea of flattery, the idea of noise, and this idea of status. Now we're going to kind of round out one of the four kind of cornerstones to what ego does by tackling ego's fear of learning. May it be the surrender from the Bhagavad Gita, the humility Marcus Aurelius showed, or David Goggins' grit and continual kind of work to find the next best thing, and Ryan Holiday's ego is the enemy, will all provide themselves as very good sources to pull quotes and ideas from as we discuss, dissect, and figure out why is it that our ego fears this idea of learning and fears the idea of not looking knowledgeable? So when we looked at episode one, we considered, dissected, and understood this idea of humility and being able to stay grounded against the flattery that comes our way. Episode two talked about our necessity to stay silent and not kind of speak everything out into this world, and rather work silently and not be so like attached to this idea of external validation. And episode three talked about this idea of avoiding this set of actions we do regularly for the sake of status, but rather focus on working for the sake of working and not being attached so much to the outcome, prioritizing the journey over the destination. And so with these three episodes, we've kind of built kind of tools and seen various sides of what ego entails. And now one of the most powerful blunders that ego creates in us is a fear of learning and a fear of wanting to make ourselves seem and bring ourselves down to a level where we learn new things. Ego as a concept likes to portray us as kind of the master of everything that we do, and wants to illustrate to us that, oh, we know everything. I've read like three books on this, so now my knowledge is saturated. But true humility looks at every single new book not as an opportunity to reinforce all that we know, even though that is a part of it, but it's also an opportunity to learn something new, create a new framework in our head that works best and provides new details that we may not have considered before. And so what we're going to discuss through this episode is this idea of the student mindset, tying it all together and creating the sense of openness in us. And now the question we should consider is, have you ever avoided learning? Have you ever avoided looking almost dumb per se in order to seem expert or knowledgeable in what you're doing? Let's take a look, dissect the ego behind this, and find out how we can adopt methods to remain a student in all that we do and continue to keep our ego at bay. So tune in and let's get started. So ego always needs to be all-knowing. It craves this illusion of mastery and resists the kind of vulnerable state you're put in of learning or feedback. And so this kind of necessity to be all-knowing, this kind of necessity to put yourself as this knowledge expert in all that you do, blocks the humility that Stoicism and spirituality both espouse as important qualities to bettering oneself. And the spiritual openness that we kind of deny by prioritizing our ego removes the ability for us to grow over time. And so one way you can think of ego's avoidance is kind of avoiding this idea of beginner status, especially for some of you listeners who are maybe mid to late career. One thing we can find ourselves jumping into is this rigidity of looking at things in a specific way or thinking of solutions in a very particular manner, or fitting a specific box. Ego will kind of add more to this, because for someone to consider new ideas and stay flexible, it kind of indicates that, oh, they're not very learned in what they're doing. Oh, are they weak in what they're feeling? Or are they like not strong in their points? When really, it shows true humility for us to consider new ideas, regardless of our stage in our career, and really illustrates the humility of other people's minds, other people's thoughts, and other people's ideas. However, ego does not like this. It does not like this idea of kind of subsuming ourselves to someone else whose idea might be better and might be more useful to the organization. The Bhagavad Gita talks about this as well. A steady mind is not one that is kind of calcified into stone, but it's rather one that surrenders to the flow of time and surrenders to the flow of life. We may consider what confidence, pride, and ego is really just being set in one kind of set of characteristics, but true confidence and true kind of humility is flexibility. It's the willingness and the openness to understand that what we are doing right now could be done better, or what we're doing right now is simply inaccurate. And correspondingly, it also embraces learning new things, regardless of age, regardless of stage in life, with a spiritual calm. This equanimity that you see is kind of misconceived as such a solidified set of principles or ideas. But in truth, it's rather the knowledge that what you have as your personality right now is what is required at this point. But if something better comes along, there is no need to keep the kind of personality traits that you're maintaining, provided that they meet like these metrics of non-ego based qualities or traits, and something that advances who you want to be as a person. So, for example, I'll even touch back on my own life. Over this last year or so, I've been spending time with a specific set of friends that have helped cultivate more easygoing nature inside of myself. The over-analytical, hyper-analytical, overthinking kind of persona that I had and is still useful and I still adopt on occasion started to dissolve, or kind of not take up rather the majority of my headspace or thought space. Where I would think about what someone said or what they did and let it affect me for a long period of time. Hanging around specific friends allowed me to adopt a more easygoing nature, have a more like kind of outgoing or just kind of calm-based methodology to everything that I did. And so an ego-based personality would look at all those and be like, oh no, they're different. They're not as good as me. My qualities are more useful, so I got to keep those. But being a little more flexible to even personality traits of people around you and adopting those and having respect for those creates a better version of your own self. And this attachment to this idea of expertise that ego has resists the call of surrender, resists the call of letting go of desires, and blocks true wisdom's path. Because say you calcify your characteristics in a specific way or set without allowing yourself to even consider bending a little bit in any direction, how far do you think it'll take for all of this calcification to spread to your ideas, to spread to everything else you do, making yourself be so rigid in everything you do that you will be unwilling to consider new ideas, consider new perspectives, and will still kind of huddle up in a turtle shell, accepting that your truth is the only truth and nothing else is valid. And this kind of echoes itself in mastery as well. So the very idea of mastery is such an interesting concept in the perspective or context of ego. So when you look at this idea of mastery, mastery is a goal that we all strive for. Ego strives for the idea of mastery. Humility strives for true mastery. And let's break what that sentence down means a little bit more. So this idea of mastery is kind of this idea of like having mastery, or like the concept of knowing that you're a master at something. That is what ego craves. It's not really the hours upon hours of work and the continual learning and betterment you have to do to truly become a master. But ego looks for the title of being a master. And so it skips this idea of apprenticeship, looking for the next best thing, looking for the title more than the actual work necessary, craving this instant expertise and hindering that learning that humility adopts in order to stay disciplined and truly become a master. Because one who has a large ego, one who has ego pervading through everything they do, resists feedback and resists self-improvement or self-reflection of their own self, thinking that whatever they're doing is correct no matter what. Humility seeks feedback, puts themselves deliberately in the line of fire, and works on self-reflection and self-improvement in order to become the next better person. And similarly, the same way that when you put money in a cash account, it'll stay the same and it won't gain much, versus when you put it in a savings account or a stock market, it compounds over time. That is how humility works in comparison to ego. Ego can maintain your cash in a safe little deposit box and nothing can happen. Inflation will chip away at the true value of money, but it will stay the same. It'll stay calcified and it'll be secure in what it is. But when you kind of step outside of your comfort zone, open yourself up to feedback, and continually work toward bettering yourself, you will notice those compounding returns that happen annually that build up your overall portfolio to become far more powerful, far more flexible, and far better for your own continuation and growth in your life. Ego needs to seem all-knowing. And just like we touched back in previous episodes, it talks. It's obsessed with this idea of status. It takes in flattery and validation and makes it its personality. One of the main laws of power, something that I believe is not truly a law of power, but just a law of general growth and general kind of wisdom, is law 4, which is always say less than necessary. Always saying less than necessary may seem like an insidious trait in the beginning, where you're kind of hiding everything that you're doing, but it's rather prioritizing your ears more than your mouth. One of my favorite lines from a book that I read is that you have two ears but one mouth, yet we tend to use the organ that we have one less of more than the other two. We tend to speak so much that we lose track of what we have to listen to. And this law of power touches on that idea. Prioritizing our ears, hearing and absorbing, and listening for the sake of listening, listening not to speak in the next sentence you can, but just listen. Ego drives us to dominate conversations. Humility asks us to listen more, because that's when you kind of learn more. Something I find myself doing, and I have to catch myself doing every so often, is that sometimes I will feel like I am speaking more than I should. And I will take a step back and be like, let me listen a little bit more. Because in the end, your information that you're going to speak of, you already have in your head. And you already know about this information. So why espouse it unless there's a specific purpose for it? Why not listen and absorb new information that you can use for your own perspectives and your own building up of your personality? Ego doesn't consider this. Ego is like, no, I gotta talk. I gotta make my presence known. Think about it this way as well. An economy of words. One who speaks 1,000 words versus one who speaks 200 words. Most of the time, just based on human psychology, based on how we comment on other people's wordings and speeches, one who speaks 1,000 words, each word they speak has less value than the person who speaks 200 words. The person who speaks 200 words, each word can be more deliberate, more purposeful, and people will pay more attention to than someone who yaps on for 1,000 words or so. And so while we kind of diverge a little bit from this idea of ego's need to be all-knowing and touched a little bit into this idea of speaking more than necessary or even seeking flattery or not having much restraint, it's all tied together. Ego avoids challenges, humility seeks them out. Ego avoids feedback. Humility puts itself in the line of fire. Ego avoids vulnerability, telling itself that having such a hard exterior makes everyone see it the same way, while humility opens up the soft interior in order to create a more stronger interior in the long run. An ego, in a spiritual sense, clings to the past and future. It does not consider the presence of the present. It pulls us away from the curiosity that allows us to build up our future, and instead ties us to the past, or ties us to the necessity to continually blabber on for long ends of time. Ironic considering I'm doing a podcast right now. An attachment to expertise that ego has, and this idea of being an expert, creates rigidity because it doesn't allow us to consider new ways of thinking, and it doesn't cause us to challenge our assumptions of ideas that we had before. And this ties in, like we covered in previous episodes, to the idea of narcissism, which shows ego's need to be all-knowing, which shows ego's need to, like, present this ideal of expertise, not really have it. Narcissistic people who have a large amount of ego avoid admitting ignorance and instead avoid reflection overall. It limits the empathy and hinders learning from others. And in the end, while you may think that staying rigid and staying so set in one path leads to mastery, it's truly humility and a calm surrender, letting go, and equanimity in all that we do that truly leads us to mastery. Because the more you calcify your personality, the less willing you are to learn, and the less humble you are in all that you do. For example, before we move on to the next section, picture a leader or picture someone you know who fakes this idea of expertise or knowledge in order to seem like an expert or seem someone who's knowledgeable. How long do you think will it take for someone to puncture that balloon that is made of nothing but hot air, especially in a larger organization? How long do you think will it take for one person's flaws to be displayed out to the rest of the organization before something else happens? I myself have found some of the traits I've like acknowledged in the past that have hindered other people's growth in teams as a result of my ego and my calcification, my unwillingness to look at a situation or a problem from multiple perspectives and understand that I am going on the wrong path. I myself have found myself hindering other people's progress. And the continual self-reflection that we do will allow us to identify this and work our brain more towards humility as opposed to ego. And so now let's transition into this idea of how we can combat this ego. Now that we've covered the hardships that ego creates us, let's go into the student mindset and the benefit of lifelong learning. So the student mindset is this idea of looking at any sort of mountain we're climbing and taking that first step, always subsuming ourselves to the nature of the mountain that lies in front of us. It's not charting a course, knowing that every single step is going to be the way we see it and the mountain must bend to our whims, but it's rather accepting and surrendering to the mountain's nature and working our way up slowly to the summit until we find the next mountain. With this humility, this willingness to learn, and the student mindset, we are now freed from ego. We are freed from this false veil of expertise. And we are instead grounded in curiosity and this idea and wanting to learn. Ego wants to be complete. Humility is fine being incomplete. And a student mindset is the primary way to find ourselves being happy with being incomplete. And so we keep coming back to this dichotomy of ego and humility and the veil of ego, which is important to kind of dissect because ego is itself a veil. It only takes one person's sharp sword to pierce it. But humility is a stronger form of armor that allows us to take hits and allows us to get up after we take those hits. Ego is a glass sculpture that shatters, but humility is an iron kind of rock that takes in blows and pulls itself back up to take the next blow correspondingly. Stoicism sees learning as a lifelong duty. It embraces this idea of uncertainty in all that we do and all that we know to ensure that we're continually open to learning and open to new things. Humility drives us to seek truth. Ego drives us to seek certainty that will not change over time. And through this idea of Dharma or Hinduism, in order to find our life's task as mastery, says Barabar Green, we're to find our Dharma by Hinduic tradition. We're not going to find this dharmic kind of blueprint that embodies inside of us or this life's task if we kind of find something and stick to it as the only thing we know how to do. We'll find it when we continually open ourselves up to new frontiers and find the one that sits best with us, but continually be open to new frontiers to see where our life is going to take us over time. Humility, as opposed to ego, embraces guidance from mentors and emphasizes seeking out mentors who know more than we do in a specific field, so we build ourselves up to become, as Leonardo da Vinci put it, a Renaissance man, one who is well-rounded in all that they do. And so, the issue with the student mindset, per se, issue in the sense of it's a longer process, is that it requires discipline. It embodies our commitment to not only bettering our own selves, but to continually work toward the next mountain, to adjust the goalposts for our own selves that we're never at the top, but we're continually learning. And this adaptability, as Musashi would put in The Five Rings, and this lack of calcification of ourselves into one kind of mindset or one kind of sword stance, as Musashi would say, allows us to take on new enemies, stay self-reflective, stay humble, and see each opponent and see each opportunity as a new blank slate to learn something new. And this ego versus humility battle is present in all religions, all faiths, and is present in all kinds of philosophies in the end, because in the end it is learning versus calcification. It is humility versus ego. It is the battle that we continually fight to stay grounded in this world instead of living in our dreams, living in the status, living in our flattery, living in the world of validation. And the ways we work towards this is surrendering, learning, and staying grounded in all that we do. Focusing on the journey, not the destination, and having nishkama karma, which is desireless actions. Actions for the sake of actions, actions not for an end. Because in the end, we do control less than 1% of our lives. We only control how we can perceive events and our two hands in response to said events. And so now, as we close out this saga, set of episodes, however you want to call it, on ego, question you want to ask yourself is, when did you embrace becoming a beginner? When did you allow yourself to surrender to the world around you, accept the limited amount of things we can control, and instead subsumed ourselves with humility and surrender ourselves to the world around us? When did we allow ourselves to seek deliberate feedback? When did we allow ourselves to avoid the kind of false pedestal that our status puts us on, or the false pedestal of flattery puts us on? And when did we allow ourselves to plug the hole that is in the middle of our face and instead open the two that are on the sides? Ego is easy. Courage, humility, and the willingness to learn is much harder, because it requires discipline, requires self-reflection, and it requires us to constantly batter away at any calcification processes that our mind does. And so as we finish out this saga, let's think of some few practical takeaways to embody the person you want to become, to embody our continual battle against ego, and our continual work towards being a lifelong student full of humility. Step one, embrace uncertainty. There is much we cannot control, but that is not a bad thing. That is rather an illustration of the kind of unique world we live in, and the necessity to prioritize what we can control, which is our mind and how we react to events. Next is, try to prioritize acting for the sake of acting, doing something for the sake of doing something, not for our own personal selfish gain. And then build learning habits. Find a way to incorporate learning about something. It can be something of little consequence, but prioritize deliberately working towards learning something that may or may not help us in the future, but keeps us open and makes us look like a beginner in some way, shape, or form. Something I'm trying to learn myself is chess, because I really feel like it's a really cool strategic game that I know nothing apart from like basic movements about. And face, accept, understand the surrender and vulnerability that this requires in order for you to become a true student. And reflect on your growth. Be proud of yourself for all the work you're doing to make yourself better, as long as you do not let it become into calcified conceit. Thanks so much for listening to this episodic series on this idea of ego. Through these episodes, we've conquered ego's need to be all-knowing, its kind of reliance upon status and flattery, and its requirement to fill the void of its own brain with noise. Through these episodes, I've hoped to instill this idea of humility, the necessity for silence, a purpose-driven life, and the vulnerability of being a student, in order to ensure that we kind of embody these four core principles and work toward building the next part of our life to be far more important, far more deliberate, and far more humble. Through these next episodes, past this idea of ego, we're going to go more into resilience through this idea of adversity, using Stoic wisdom, Bhagavad Gita, some of Robert Greene's works as well. And the question you want to think about is, how do challenges fuel our overall growth? Thanks so much for listening. Stay curious, keep growing, and let's walk this path toward humility together. If you'd like to hear more content, feel free to drop me a follow at Stoic Spirituality on whichever platform you're listening to this podcast on. Or if you'd like to see little clips or sound bites from my episodes, feel free to drop me a follow at Stoic Spirituality on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. Thanks so much for listening, and see you guys next time.